Fine feathers make fine birds. All created within. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Fine feathers make fine birds, all created within. How often do we look at the peacock and we think, my gracious sakes, what a beautiful bird. What glorious feathers. And as we sit here at our table each meal, we look out just outside of our window. Hanging there is the hummingbird feeder, and it is sugar water for the hummingbirds. And the hummingbirds come up there, and some hummingbirds shouldn't. They're not pretty at all. They're just ordinary little chunks of gray fluff. And the others, on the other hand, have a neck that is a throat of pure red, and when they're drinking it sort of ripples and ruffles, and it's phosphorescent, and it has all sorts of different colors to it. And others, they'll have it on the top of their head. Others will have it on their wings. There was a beautiful little hummingbird out here the other day who had phosphorescent wings, and it was a green phosphorescence with streaks of yellow flowing through it. And how did he design that? How did he come up? And yet they're all hummingbirds, and they're all similar birds living in a similar community. But man, they have different genes, don't they? They have beautiful different genes. But you see, it's all from within. Now, why is it that the poor, dull-looking bird has that poor, dull-looking color to it? That poor, dull-looking bird is the female. And the males have all of this color and all of this paraphernalia just to get to excite the females to allow them to mate with the female. And, you know, all of that. And this, in every gender of animal, in every type of animal, bird, lizard or whatever, they all have different mating deals. And even in some birds, they allow themselves to have the male sit on the eggs. And the female goes out and gets the food, of course. And the male sits on, but he not only sits on the eggs while she comes back and feeds the young after they're born, he sits on the eggs until they're born. I mean, now that is dedication. I'm sure he gets off to do his potty and things like that, maybe get a bite to eat for himself. But basically, his job is to stay on those eggs totally. And isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Some eggs are just laid out on the rocks so the sun will warm them and help hatch them. And you think to yourself, man, oh man, oh man. And who carries the babies around in the penguin family? The male. First he carries the egg around. The female lays this monstrous egg. And then he puts the egg under his wing flaps in the front and puts them on top of his feet. And when he waddles, he doesn't go too fast. And so the egg is constantly being warmed by his feathers and himself. And he doesn't let the egg touch the ground because it would be too cold. His feet touch the ground, but the eggs don't. Now, fine feathers make a fine bird, and they're all created within. Now, isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting? All of this beautiful coloring. Look at the animals. The tiger, the leopard, you know, the hyena even, you know. All of these animals are rather dramatic and rather special. We've always had an unhappiness about carnivore animals, carrion animals, animals that eat dead bodies like roadkill and other things. And we've never been too kind about them. And yet, they're a very necessary creature in the world to do their job. And the hyena, we look at him as an ugly, hateful creature, and he's not ugly and he's not hateful. He is very loving. He's very family oriented. He is very happy with his home. When she comes home, or he comes, but basically it's she who's a hunter. When she comes home, all the family genuflect to her. All the family pay her homage because she's a very special being. Now, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Even in our own families, our children don't pay homage to the mother when she comes in after a hard day. She's, would you kids settle down? Would you stop? And certainly the hyena never has that problem, nor does the leopard or the lion or many another. But you see, it's all created within. How do the children learn that they should respect their parent who is the hunter and who brings home the food? How do children learn that? How do creatures learn that? Well, they learn it by one of the parents informing them that that's what they do. And if they don't do it, they get a cuff and go flying to the other side of the cave. You know? And this is how children should learn about their own families. If it's a stay-at-home father, he should teach the children, when your mother comes home, respect the fact now she's been working, and I don't want any of you bringing up any problems to her. None. She doesn't deserve to have to go through your caterwauling, you know. And it's wonderful. It's really wonderful how they do that. But the human society has drifted away from that a little bit. And in drifting away from it, they have drifted away because the feathers have gotten mixed. We don't know who's the male and who's the female. Because is the man's body extremely beautiful, or is the woman's body extremely beautiful? And if it's not beautiful, what attracts two people to be together? Well, the only thing that attracts two people to be together is what goes on in their inner self, the inner psyche of them. And that is what keeps them together and bonds them. Although, when you look at geese, geese mate for life. And geese don't do any special bonding. They have their marriage ritual, you know, but they don't do any special bonding. They just know. It's in the psyche of the geese, of the goose, of the goose geeses, you know, to mate for life. And, oh, what an admirable state, we say. Well, yes and no. If a goose dies, male or female, then its mate, who has mated for life, is unable to carry on. And they often die too. If they were able to make the transition from their dead mate to finding another mate, great. But that oftentimes becomes a very big problem for them. Fine feathers make fine birds. That's true. All created within. So if we start recognizing, what are we as humans? Now, stand up 10 human beings at random, 10 men and 10 women. Now, you don't see anything except their eyes. You know? And so they're standing on the opposite side of seeing each other's eyes. And so you pair people up, and they're looking at the eyes. And, how are you today? I'm fine. It's so interesting. And then they move you. They move you. And they move you. And then they move you again and move you again. And then after doing the full circle once or twice, then they say, okay, now gravitate to the one that you like, the woman. And she gravitates to the eyes that spoke to her. Mm-hmm. Not the voice or anything else, but the eyes. And each one chooses somebody, and the more alert people choose it more quickly. But it's all created within. You see, it's that quality within the person that shines out through their eyes that makes you want to be a part of their world. And that's kind of exciting. That's a beautiful project to be in, and it's a beautiful excitement to be in. So, my loves, fine feathers make fine birds, but it's all created within. What are you creating within yourself that your fine feathers outpicture? Are you creating that you are a fantastic woman, a desirable woman, a likable woman, a matchless woman, one who is just beyond belief, so wonderful, so perfect? How are you? Good question, isn't it? Think about it. Think about it and realize that you're all fantastic. And I love you. I love you.
I love you.